And we want to welcome all of His Glory Nation from east to west to north to south. Welcome to today's Take 5, March the 10th, Brighteon.tv version. You're going to see two incredible interviews that we did this week. One is Antonio Sabato Jr. talks about his love for the Lord and, you know, Hollywood and model and how everything is empty without Jesus. You think you get to the highest pinnacle, but it's empty unless you have Jesus. The other interview after Antonio is going to be John Bevere. I had the privilege of running into John Bevere in Colorado, and his love for the Lord just absolutely showed in that first meeting we had together. And it was great to see him come on and share about the fear of the Lord. Many people don't talk about the fear of the Lord, and that's the fear of letting him down. So incredible conversation. You're going to love both these two of these interviews. So enjoy them. God bless you.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
But now I get to the great honor to introduce Antonio Sabato Jr. It seems like I've known you forever, but this is the first time we've met. Welcome to His Glory.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure. God bless.
Yes, I tell you that you're at home here because, you know, the cancel culture, I want to get your opinion on that, on what Hollywood has done to people like you and Nick Searcy and Christy Swanson, the whole group that has stand strong, Kevin Sorbo, who stand strong, and what you're doing to create Christian content is exactly what we need at this juncture.
Yeah, God is good all the time, and you just got to show it in your livelihood and the way you live and express the love for Jesus Christ every day. I mean, I thank God every day. I thank Jesus for everything that I have. I'm very blessed. I'm so good with my life. I'm so in touch with my spiritual being and everything that it's a good thing. You know, when you reach a certain place of peace, I think peace is very important nowadays. I think most people in the world don't have peace, and I don't care how much money you have and power, but peace is something that is very unique, and certain people can have it if they choose to do the work and to be connected with a higher power. I believe for me has certainly worked that way, but I gotta tell you, you know, it's when you reach a place of peace and you surrender yourself to the Almighty, and you know that you can't do it alone. And this, I speak for myself. You live a better life. You seem to be making the better choices. You stay more connected with everyone around you. You make better choices in choosing the people you want to surround yourself with, and giving back and all that stuff. So God has been good in my life. So I thank him every day, and I make my own bed every day, because that's what we got to do. So I only take responsibility for myself and the life that I live. But there was a time in my life where I was fighting all the time, you know, fighting for your country, fighting for standing up for Hollywood, standing up for this, standing up for that, going against the system, going against Disney, going against the woke agenda. It's too tiring.
Yeah.
I'm done. Right now, it's like if common sense should be the priority. If things are not there that make sense, you know, we've been on this planet long enough to figure out what is right and what is wrong. And so I tend to believe that if you focus on yourself to have a better life, to give back, to be more in touch with love, your heart, everything like that, artistically, you know, all that stuff that you create, to know that you're not just a somebody, you're more than that. You're unique. God created you to be unique. And we got to express that, because we always, I think, you know, going back to originally what you were asking about the woke agenda and all that stuff, it's that if I focus on them being against me, or I focus on that part of the world, the media, the lying media, Hollywood, the politics, all that stuff that we know so well that it's in front of our faces, then the devil wins. The devil wants us to be in the dark side. So I get up in the morning and I say, thank you, Jesus, all you've given me. And I thank you for everything. Thank you for the breath that I have, the lungs that are working in my body. And then you got to put in the work. I got to put in the work with prayers. I got to put in the work of my physical body. I got to eat right. I got to work out. I got to train. I got to be loyal to my girl, to my fiance. I got to be loyal to my friends. I got to be loyal to my kids. I got to be loyal to myself. I got to be honest. That takes work, because it makes you see yourself in a whole different light, because you see the problems, the things that we are connected that we don't like about ourselves. And so that's what God has done to me, is making me see all the dark places. And now I only see is light. It's good.
Yeah, you mentioned the peace. I call it the shalom of God. You know, here you are an actor, a model. Everybody would love to get to that level. And I'll let you finish that. The only completeness and the only shalom that you can get is through Jesus Christ, not how high you're put on a pedestal.
Amen to that. And I have really good parents. You know, my mother's still alive. God bless her soul. My father passed away several years ago. But I had good parents and good morals that taught me the way of life, the beginning. You know, they're saying, you know what? And Jesus was always there. You know, since I was a little boy, I was always connected. I always had a relationship. My relationship with Jesus was not through a church, was not through a pastor, excuse my French, to anyone, a human being. It was my relationship with Christ that I've had, that I still have, that is my personal relationship, and nobody needs to know that, which is a great relationship. And I think most people should have that. And it's a personal, like again, people want to explore that and they want to talk about it and they want to express, and that's good. And it's good to express and let the world know. But when you have that personal relationship and those dark things come out because you have that with Jesus, you know, you wake up, you go through life in a different way after that, you know? So, and that's what I give thanks to every day, because it makes me see a whole different light. The only light that's the only life worth living for. It's knowing that. You know, when you think about it, I tell everyone, you know, when did you find Christ? When didn't I find Christ? Christ died for my sins. He was put on a cross and brutally killed in the worst way. And my father gave his only son to die for me. So I have children of my own, and I'm sure you do too. And you know, people with children and families, would you be able to give your child the way to be killed in front of the world? Most people say no. But in the same token, we live in a society, we let things happen. And we have to stop that, and we have to express our love for Christ. Because I think, you know, when you stop relying on the material things, which is what you brought up, the fame, the money, all those things that are great to have, and we're very fortunate, I'm very blessed and humble to live the life that I've had and I still have. But there's more to life than that. And that's what it's important, and that's what it's about. And it's about loving everyone. It's about loving your enemies, to get to a place where you surrender to that. You know, how do I become a better person every day? How do I show my children? How do I show myself that I can be better? So that's what I do every day. And I drive myself to do that, because we're so full of so many faults, my friend.
Yep.
We're faulty. We make mistakes every single day. No matter how much we hit ourselves against the wall, we're going to make that mistake again. That's why we're not Jesus. And that's why we need Jesus to clean ourselves from the mistakes that we continuously make. So it's a beautiful thing. And I think the relationship, it's what matters. I think most people don't have relationships with significant others, especially with a higher power anymore. They rely on the relationship with fame. They rely relationship with the media, the actors, the people that, you know, these actors wear this stuff, so I automatically have to wear the same, or I have to get the same haircut. I have to follow the herd. I have to follow everyone, because otherwise I'm not accepted, you know, because maybe they won't like me for who I am. That's the world that we live in. So, and when you have a system, the matrix, the system, political worlds, people that have a lot of power, they get these people involved and all of a sudden they're working for them. That's slavery of today, is a mind slavery, that people cannot make up their own minds based on factual things and truth and common sense anymore. So it's a very dangerous thing when you have ignorance being really the surplus of everything is ignorance, because you don't want to find out for yourself. You trust everyone. You trust the celebrity. You trust Hollywood. Whatever they're saying has got to be right. They're making millions of dollars. It's got to be right. What I see is right. And it's kind of like the Stanley Kubrick movie, you know, Clockwork Orange. You know, when you have the eyes open like this and you're forced to see something, and the more you see it, the more you believe it. But psychologically, unconsciously, you know that there's something off, because we're connected in the system and they got you. They really own you. Because what? You know, when they have you, and the devil talks about it, the Bible talks about it, when you surrender, when you let go of God, when you let go of Jesus, when you let go of the spiritual awakening, when you let go of any of that sort of stuff, family values, country, all that, you let it all go. What do you have on this side? On this side, you have, wow, what do I have? I have everything else at my disposal, but it's not appreciated, it's not respected, it's not counted for, it's not honest, it's not loving, it's not, it has deceit, it has, because it's there, you know? It's like that fairy tale Pinocchio, you know? He says, you know, I want to live my life, I want to be a boy, I don't want to be educated, I don't want anything, I want to live my life. And all of a sudden, he's walking around as a donkey, his nose grew really long because he lied his whole life. You know, those things, and those are the things that were part of our lives growing up with knowing. And now they're getting rid of books, they're getting rid of history, they're getting rid of God, they're trying to. So we live in a very spiritual warfare right now that is very, very powerful. And when people see it with their own eyes, especially spiritual folks like yourself and myself, we got to stand strong, and we got to know that God purposely has the answers. We don't.
That's right.
So with all we could do is... be better people every day. That's all I can say, you know?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head when you said it's a relationship. You know, I always say that if you're doing religion, you're doing it wrong. It's a love relationship in the heart with Him. And that's where we're at today, unfortunately, in society. The church has fell asleep. They've become too much of a religious spirit, relying on a prophet or relying on a pastor to tell you everything about the Bible. We have a direct mm-hmm. access to our King of Kings and Lord of Hosts. Immediately. Amen. We don't need to go through anybody else. We put our hope in Him, no one else.
Exactly so. It's so well said. And it's really free, really easy. It's really the easiest thing you do. It's just you really have to get to the concept of finding out inside and go, you know what? Now I can see myself, who I am, because there's nobody else in here but yourself. That soul, that thing that makes you decide whether you go this way or that way, the choices you make, all that stuff, you can blame it on genes, you can blame it on this, but right now, in this moment, psychologically, your soul, who you are as a person, to get to know you, the good and the bad, you got to have something that really breaks the ice and makes you see that. And God has given me Jesus to do that. And I do that every day, because I constantly, like I said, we make mistakes. We are... to be humble as a human being, yeah. We're not humble. We're created very much the opposite. And that's why he gave us Jesus to find out. Because otherwise it'd be just one life. Everybody lives the same life. Everybody does this. This is, instead of finding out, am I here for a reason? Mm-hmm. Is there a reason here that I was put here, or are we just all the same falling off the cliff, or there's something else that we're trying to do here? And I think that's more important. What is it special about you? What is it about life that intrigues you? You know, all that stuff. And right now, more than ever, because things are so easy to get. I mean, all we need is a phone, and the devil is giving us everything in front of our faces. It's like I said, Pinocchio right there. He's at the amusement park. All the rides are rolling. You don't have to pay for anything. It's free. But nothing is free in life. Nothing. I see people giving up their soul, giving up who they are, whether it's addiction to drugs, whether it's addiction to politics, whether it's addiction to fame, whether it's addiction to women, pornography. Now we're dealing with children being taken away from us in our schools, mentally, psychologically. We're dealing with a mental warfare of catastrophic proportions where people are taken and going, okay, this is the truth, and I'm going to give you the truth, and whether you believe it or not is the truth, and you have nothing to say about. You can't make jokes anymore. You can't laugh between people anymore. You don't know who's who anymore. And so the devil is laughing. Is laughing every day going, you guys, I got you right here where I want you to be. And the Christian community has not done enough to stand up for Christ, because this is not a matter of like if you like Christ or not, or you have to do your biblical homework on a Sunday or show up. This is a spiritual warfare that is inside your soul, who you are as a person. Who you are and what kind of life is stronger than that. People have to really reflect on that and what kind of world we live in, where you are taken from left to right. You're being split apart. Families, individuals, countries. And these are purposely done by people. You know who's doing it because you see it every day. Because when you step outside, it's like seeing the forest. But when you're in it, you don't see it, right? You got to step back and see the whole forest. And so, and I think, truthfully enough, and I think it's hard to say, but the people that find out the truth are usually the ones that go through hell and back and are the survivors. And if you can survive it, like I have, and many, many others, then you can see the whole truth. I think maybe some are fortunate and others can see it, but I think you got to go through the fire. And, and some people don't make it alive. You know, it's a very dangerous place. Addiction, and I think more, I mean, right now people are falling off everywhere and they have nowhere to go. And I keep telling them, I'm like, just look inside you and go, you know what? Jesus is there reaching out every day. You just haven't seen it yet. So all you have to do is just maybe open one eye and let the other one open later. Mm-hmm. But just give it a chance to say, what do I got to lose? I lost everything. What do I got to lose? And it's a beautiful thing. It's, I tell everyone it's worth a try.
And when you find him, because if you seek him, you will find him. And when you find him, all that stuff you thought from the past was really nice, it's not so nice. It's having that peace and that shalom that can only come from him, like you have right now.
Yeah.
You can't
and
buy that.
And it's honesty. You can't buy that. You know, we're surrounded by reality shows of people trying to find love and trying to find everything perfect. When you know that you haven't looked inside you and go, can you be honest? Because you know what? Most people are not honest with themselves, and you can see through them. And you go, people want this perfect life, and go, okay, if you had everything perfect today and I gave you that life, how would you deal with it? Would you be okay? Would you be content? Or would you seek for more? You see, the thing is, the reason why most people don't cross over, whether it be, and they always put themselves down and they live in the sorrow, surrounded by the dark side and all stuff, because they're not willing to step into the water. And that's what Jesus said. Are you willing to go into the storm? If you trust me. And that's why I tell Christians all the time. You talk a big game, and I say, the Christian community talks a big game. Oh, really? Then why don't you produce movies and entertainment that stand up to Hollywood and make the same products that are valuable, that can go to the Academy Awards, that they can go and, you know, I have this movie coming out called Grace by Night. It comes out this summer, and I'm very blessed to be part of. And we've been working on this movie, I don't even know how long. It's a really good dramatic piece that has emotional values that I've never seen. I really, for me personally as an actor, I've never done anything like this. And I'm very pleased because it's about God opening doors and going, you know what? You already have the Christians watching the films, but you want to get the sinners. You want to go to Hollywood. You want to be able to stand next to everyone that maybe you disagree with and go, you know, our movie is there too. I don't want to just go to the same film festivals all the time. I don't want to do that. I want to, God is bigger than that. You know, look how long Mel Gibson has been trying to work on the Passion of the Christ. He put $20 million, I don't know how much money he put it, because the studio said, I don't want to put any more. That movie went through hell and back to be made. Movie grossed over $1 billion. And then when I propose my stories and I have great films, great stories that are very dramatic and R-rated, and they go, well, you know, Christians wouldn't do movies that are R-rated. Really? What did Christ go through? Mm-hmm. Isn't that R-rated enough to be spit on, to be almost, I mean, killed and whipped by the entire city in the most bloodiest way? That's not violent enough? And then life is violent. You have to be able to show real life moments. And maybe at the end of the day, God wants to show you that it's not so peachy and beautiful at the end of the road, but there's a message there. Because if you start thinking that, well, I'm going to pray every day, 24 hours a day, and I get everything I want. As long as I believe in Jesus and I love God, I get everything I want, and I'm going to become a millionaire and have the life that I want. And that doesn't work that way.
Nope.
It doesn't work that way. Sinners, people that believe in Christ, that go to church every Sunday, make mistakes all the time. We do it all the time. So I am, and this movie is going to open up doors for everyone. As a matter of fact, we enrolled this film. It's not even ready. We're in post-production at the Florida ICFF Festival, okay, which is a pretty big film festival for our Christian films. And the movie's not even put together, and it's already nominated for everything. Like it was put into the file, like, 3 days ago, because it's a real film that deals with real issues that we don't want to see as Christians, because we want to live in this bubble and go, we're Christians, we don't make mistakes. Well,
yep,
that's your first mistake, because, you know, Jesus went around and the people that followed him to the death, that betrayed him and followed him, were sinners, were the worst people ever. Hookers, drug dealers, pimps. Those are the people that follow Christ to death. Not the ones that are over there going, oh, I love God every day. I'm perfect.
Yeah.
You see? And so I'm very excited about this year. I'm very excited for the revival that we're going through. I think the next generation is waking up and go, I love Jesus. I'm not scared to show it right here, right in my heart, right on my wrist every day. And I'm proud of that. The next generation, as I can see, is not so lost.
Yeah.
I believe that the best is yet to come. And I see it with my own children, which is incredible, because they all follow Christ on their own term. On their own term. I never said, do this, do that. I live my life and he has me as the one that, and hopefully I've shown my kids the right way to do certain things, right? To live a life and to be dedicated to Christ. But at the end of the day, they made their own decisions. And I think the decisions of the next generation is very exciting, because I think they're fed up. Mm-hmm. They want to be respected. And I think God is so much love. And there's really the description of Jesus is love. And so why not talk about love every day, you know?
I agree. I tell you that I think I saw a poll that 37% of teenagers go to church today. Lowest time, lowest ever. The last two generations right now are the furthest from God in our lifetime. However, I believe you're absolutely right. We see pockets of revival coming up. What's different about those two generations than our generation, yeah, is they see the fake church. And they're like, if that's what religion's about, I don't want any part of that. And once they see the truth of Christ and the love and the peace, they're going to be all in, and they're starting to go all in.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, religion and church always bring money and power. And how many, how big is a congregation? You know, I had a time in my life where I I was really intrigued by going to all the churches around our country on my own time. You know, I wasn't televised. I wasn't. It was just my own thing to do, and I really wanted to go to the small cities, the bigger cities.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency. Which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
So, with pleasure to bring John Bevere on. John, it's what a blessing.
Dave, can I say, I love what you're doing. I love how you're keeping America informed, and it is an honor to be on this program with you.
Well, it's a God kingdom moment. I mean, literally, you and I never met before, and we're in Colorado, and we had lunch, and you're right across the table from me, and it was a God connection.
It was so good, and I just think we're in a really great hour right now, and we're beginning to see the outpourings of God's Spirit. We look at Asbury, but Asbury is not the only place. There's like 15 other locations that's happening. And I felt like last fall, the Lord showed me that the beginning of this latter rain would begin this year, but it's the very beginning. You know, the early rain in the book of Acts started out with a massive bang, but it kind of fizzled out over a couple hundred years. The last move of his Spirit is going to start out with a drizzle and is going to be ending with a massive bang. And so I believe that right now it is so crucial that we are prepared for this, because when a move of God's Spirit comes, we can find ourselves in one of three places. We can be on the outside looking in, we can be fighting against it, or we can be on the crest of the wave of what he's doing. And I'm just hoping that our few minutes together today will prepare all your listeners to be on the crest of what God is about to do and has already begun to do.
Amen. You know, what I was mentioning before we went live is the conversation you and I had at lunch that day. And you're talking about your definition of the fear of the Lord. And your book, The Awe of God, is so perfect. And so the fear of the Lord, I like you explain it in your words, because I thought it was magnificent how you did that. And it just shows you the holiness of God. I just came back from Israel, and there's a special place for me when I go, and that's Shiloh. When I go to Shiloh, I feel that holiness of God, because that's the closest we've known to get to the temple. And we have to fear the Lord, and he's a holy God. Wouldn't you want to explain that?
Yeah, let me create a hunger, first of all, on everybody on why you want to even listen to what is the fear of the Lord. Number one, it is called God's treasure in Isaiah 33, verse 6. Number two, it was Jesus's delight. Isaiah 11, 3. Number three, it is what matures our salvation, Philippians 2, 12. Number four, it is what perfects holiness. in 2 Corinthians 7:1. Number five, it is the beginning of wisdom. And that is just, and let me give you the most important. It is the starting place of an intimate relationship with God. Now, with all of that, I think we need to listen to what is the holy awe of God. First of all, it has nothing to do with being scared of God. It's actually more about being terrified of being away from God. If you remember when Moses led Israel out of Egypt, he was bringing them first to Mount Sinai, not the Promised Land. Why does he want to introduce them to the Promised Land before introducing them to the Promiser? And what's interesting is Moses had an encounter with God at that bush. I just read it this morning, okay, in my personal time of reading. And he never once said, I want to go back to Egypt. But Israel is abused by the Egyptians, and they're constantly saying, let's go back. Why? Moses had that encounter with God. So that was the beginning, the starting place. Obviously, there was a fear of the Lord in his heart. Israel had a chance, and they blew it. Because when God came down on the mountain to introduce himself to Israel, they all screamed, ran away, said, Moses, we can't handle his presence. Moses then makes a statement in Exodus 20:20 that is mind-blowing. He said, do not fear, because God has come to test you to see if his fear is in you so that you may not sin. Now, wait a minute, Moses, are you contradicting yourself? Yeah. Do not fear because God's come to see if his fear is in you. No, he's differentiating between being scared of God and the fear of the Lord. There's a difference. The person who is scared of God is something to hide. What does Adam do when he sins against the Lord? He runs from and hides from the presence of God. The person who fears God has absolutely nothing to hide. That person is terrified of being away from God. So the fear of the Lord is to be terrified of being away from God. What else is it? It is to stand in complete awe of him, to revere, respect, honor, to venerate him above anything and everyone else. It's when we take on God's heart, we love what he loves, we hate what he hates. It's not that we dislike what he hates, we hate what he hates. You say, John, God hates. Yes. Now, let me show you the legalistic side of this. There might have been people way back in the day when you and I were younger, right, that said, and we're still young, it was younger, that said, well, I fear God. That's why I hate those sinners. Now, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa. You don't fear God at all because you hate what he loves. God loves those sinners so much he died for them. What he hates is the sin that unmakes them. I remember when I was praying back in the 1990s, 2 hours every single morning from 5 to 7. Yet my words did not carry weight. They didn't carry authority. They didn't carry an anointing. And I was frustrated. One day I went to God and I said, God, why isn't there a stronger anointing on my life? And God spoke to me and said, because you tolerate sin, not only in your own life, but in others' lives. And he brought me to Hebrews chapter 1 when God the Father inaugurates Jesus. And he says, because you have loved righteousness, the Holy Spirit said, stop. Every Christian loves righteousness. He said, but I didn't stop there. Because you've loved righteousness and hated, not disliked, sin, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed you beyond your companions. He said, son, learn to hate sin the way I hate it, and you'll see the anointing of God increase upon your life. And so the holy awe of God, we can bring it down into two major categories, to tremble at his presence and to tremble at his word. Now, I remember when I really got introduced to the holy awe of God was back in 1997. I was asked to speak at a national conference in Brazil. It was a massive believers conference. They bring me into the arena. It's not an auditorium. It is, there's not a seat open in the place. It's packed, the best worship leaders in the country, but there's not a drop of the presence of God in the building. And I closed my eyes, Dave, and I said, God, where is your presence? And I open my eyes and I'm seeing people with their arms crossed looking around. I see the hands in their pocket looking down. I see them walking over and visiting with people, and people are talking. People are walking in and out getting concessions. And I'm like, what's going on? This will stop. Well, the worship's over. Now, because there's no music, you can hear the muttering of the people talking. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you got to deal with this, son. So I remember when they introduced me, this is Friday night, national conference, okay? I walked up and I thought, how do I get everybody's attention? And I thought, I'll just stare at them until they stop talking. So I just stared at them. And after about 60 seconds, people were just like, stop talking, stop walking around. And they were looking at me like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be performing, right? So when I realized I had every eye on me in the place, I said, I have a question. You're sitting talking to somebody across the table. The whole time they got their arms crossed looking around, or they're whispering to somebody beside them. Will you continue to talk to them? No. And I said, I've been in this arena for over an hour. There's not an ounce of the presence of God, because God will never come into an atmosphere where he's not held with the utmost of respect. I said, if the president of your nation would have walked on this platform tonight, you would have given him 10 times the respect you did the Holy Spirit. I said, if Pele, your greatest soccer player, would have walked on this platform, I said, you would have been on the edge of your seats, grabbing the seat in front of you, anticipating every word. I said, you've given no respect to the Spirit of God. And I preached to them for an hour and 15 minutes on the holy fear of God. The very end, I said, everybody in here, you lack the fear of God. You say you're saved. You say you're a Christian, but you lack the fear of God, and you're willing to repent. Stand up. 75% of the arena stands to their feet immediately. The presence of God comes in. People start weeping. Well, I lead him in a prayer, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he said, I'm going to come in a significant way one last time. And I will never forget this as long as I live, Dave. The only way I know how to describe it is you're standing at the end of a runway and a Boeing jet takes off. That kind of a violent wind came blowing into the arena. Now, we didn't feel the wind, we heard it. Wow. And I remember when it came in, the people started screaming. Now, can you imagine thousands of Brazilians screaming, okay? The wind was louder. Dave, I had never in my life sensed a presence like that. The authority was so strong. I was terrified. But now listen, but I was drawn to it. Now that sounds counterintuitive. It's not. There's no other way of describing this other than it is almost frightening, terrifying, but yet you're drawn to it. Mm-hmm. I realized in that moment that Daddy didn't come in, the King came in. And Dave, I had the thought go through my mind. I'd never had this thought in my entire life. John Bevere, you say one wrong word, you make one wrong move, you're dead. Now, would that have happened? I don't know. But a man and a wife brought an offering to their church service in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 5. They came in with irreverence and they buried them both that day. So I knew that irreverence would not be tolerated. And I remember when it was over, it left in its wake, people collapsed in weeping. The next day, you cannot believe the miracles that happened. And we heard about this for 22 years afterwards. All the way up till 2019, we had leaders reporting to us. I was in that building, and my life has never been the same since. When we get into that presence of his holy fear, our life changes. 2 years after that, I was in Malaysia, and that same presence came in. I had the same thoughts again. This time it was even stronger, but there was no wind. And I remember when that one was over, it lasted about 5 minutes. I'm walking out of the building, and this was a national conference. I'm walking out of the building, and this couple from India who had come, they got so hit by that presence, and we're just looking at each other. And she goes, John, I feel so clean inside. And I said, oh my gosh, that describes it. That's what I felt in Brazil. That's what I feel here in California, in North Carolina when it happened there. It's only happened like 5 or 6 times that I can remember. And I remember I went back to my hotel room that night, Dave, and I kept thinking, clean, that's it. I feel clean. Well, the next morning I'm getting ready to play basketball with the Bible school students in Malaysia. I'm putting on my gym shorts, right? Holy Spirit said, son, read Psalm 19. I have no idea what I'm going to read in Psalm 19. So I go over to Psalm 19, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I get to verse 9, and it says, the fear of the Lord is clean. And I went, whoa, there it is. And then it says, enduring forever. The Holy Spirit spoke to me right there, Dave. And he said, Lucifer led worship right before my throne. He beheld my glory. He beheld my glory. He was anointed to worship. He didn't fear me. He didn't endure forever. He said, a third of the angels surrounded my throne. They beheld my glory. They didn't fear me. They didn't endure forever. He said, Adam and Eve walked in the garden in the presence of my glory. They didn't fear me. They didn't endure in the garden forever. And he said, every created being that surrounds my throne throughout eternity will have been tested in the holy fear of God. I started thinking afterwards, there are pastors that started in ministry. Ministers started in ministry. They love people. They love Jesus. They were excited. They were passionate. They didn't fear God. They didn't endure in the ministry forever. There are 40 million Americans, according to Barna, that have walked away from the faith in the last 23 years. Yeah. Over 20 million of those 40 million are professing agnostics and atheists and spiritualists now. What happened? We didn't tell them what matures our salvation. Paul said we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, not with love and kindness, because I'll never forget when I sat in front of a world famous evangelist in a penitentiary. He was serving 5 years. He had the largest ministry on the planet for a decade. And he looked at me and he said, this prison wasn't God's judgment on my life. It was his mercy. He said, John, if I continued to live the way I was living, I would have ended up in hell forever. He said, Jesus delivered me my first year of prison of all the evil that was in my life. And I remember I looked at him and I said, at what point did you fall out of love with Jesus? And he said, John, I didn't. I said, wait a minute, you committed adultery, and I named the woman's name 7 years before you were arrested for all your mail fraud. What do you mean? You telling me you love Jesus that 7 years? Come on, man, be honest with me. You've been honest the whole time I've been talking to you. He said, John, I loved him all the way through it. Now he sees confusion, and he looked at me and he said, John, I didn't fear God.
Yep.
And he said, there's millions of Americans like me. They love Jesus. They don't fear God. And Dave, I believe this is why many people have walked away from the faith. And I look at 2 Thessalonians 2:3, Paul said before Jesus returns, there's going to be a great apostasy,
yep,
a great falling away of the faith. But what Paul doesn't write is he doesn't say they won't come back. And just as John the Baptist was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, I believe that God is going to ignite a bunch of young men and young women, older men and older women, with the spirit and power of Elijah in this coming move that we're walking into. And they're going after the lost in the church. They're not going after the lost sheep of Israel as John did. They're going after the lost sheep of the church. And I believe with all of my heart, we are going to see one of the greatest awakenings in world's history. So I'm sorry you asked me one question. I couldn't stop. Forgive me.
it's so important, because I just came back from Israel. And again, as I said in the opening, Shiloh is just one of those spots in Israel that you feel the holiness of the Lord and how important it is to take him holy and honor him. You know, back in the day on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in and they'd put ropes on him, because if he wasn't holy enough, he would drop dead. And we've lost that holiness, and we've lost that fear. And people always ask me, what's the fear of the Lord to me? And I said, simple. I can't put it into words like you can. I said, it's letting him down. That's my fear. I don't want to ever
letting
God
down. Wow. You know, you mentioned holy. You know, it's really interesting to me. Isaiah is a very godly man, and he's actually a preacher of righteousness. I mean, in Isaiah 5, he says, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Woe to the proud. Woe to the wicked. You know, woe to those who linger at the bottle for a long time. But then he comes to Isaiah 6, and he has one glimpse of the Lord in his glory. It's no longer woe is the sinner. It's woe is me. Yeah. And what's amazing to me is what he noticed when he saw the Lord on his throne is the first thing he noticed was the massive angels that were crying, holy, holy, holy. And as you and I both know, that's just a Hebrew form of writing to put emphasis on the word. The Hebrews would write a word twice to emphasize it. But when they wanted to elevate a word to its highest degree of emphasis, they write it three times.
Yep.
The angels aren't going holy, holy, holy. They're crying holy so loud. They're shaking the door jams of a building that seats over a billion beings in heaven. And so what always is amazing to me is the angels aren't crying out love, love, love. Is God love? Yes. He doesn't even have love. He is love. He's the very essence of it. But yet that's not his attribute that stands out. They're not crying faithful, faithful, faithful. Is God faithful? He's perfect in faithfulness. The attribute of God that stands out above all else is his holiness. You know, I've got a quote from Oswald Chambers. I'm coming over here to just grab the book.
Yep.
I love this quote. And if I can find it really quick in the book, I think I can. Yes. Listen to what Oswald Chambers said. He said, when we preach the love of God, there is a danger of forgetting that the Bible reveals not first the love of God, but the intense, blazing holiness of God, with his love at the center of that holiness. Now, I love that. That sums it up. And so I look at the fear of the Lord, and it's the starting place. It's the beginning of knowing God intimately. Until we first have that, Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord, is because he knew his Father so well. He said, I only speak what I hear my Father saying. I only do what I see my Father doing. What did that? His holy fear of God. If you look at Hebrews, Hebrews says he was
And welcome back. You can get the entire interviews on www.hisglory.me or app. Download the app. People love having that app with them. You can get it on Apple TV. You can get it on all of them. So download that today. We got some exciting news to add to His Glory. You'll be able to see His Glory going on cable networks here really soon. So I'm looking at trending Wells Fargo banking system. The whole banking system, as we've been talking about, is about ready to come crashing down, as we've been warning for a long time. Be prepared. This is a time that you want to look at silver and gold to hedge what is coming. So reach out to our partners at Beverly Hills Precious Metal, Silver and Gold. I have the General Flynn coin. Soon we'll have the His Glory coin. This is a way of just protecting your assets from paper, which there's nothing back in paper, to silver and gold, which has been an asset since the beginning of time. So you may not want to delay. It is tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. So check them out today. Also, I want to get shout out to the revival. God is going to redo his kingdom financially from the evil to the good. That's why we need to be ready for this great transfer of wealth to the church. To do this, to do tent revival. So our first tent revival for 2023 is in Mount Pleasant, Texas, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Join us there. That will also be streamed by Brighteon TV, Lindell TV, Clout Hub, HisGlory.tv, and another partner soon to be announced a week after that. So that will be April 8th. You'll see it stream. But for those who are in attendance, I think we have 700 tickets, roughly 700 tickets, 385 that are free. So join us. Chris Burgard will be there. Nick Searcy will be there. Ohio Brett will be there. Manuel Johnson will be there. Jimmy Levy will be there. Scott McKay will be there. Derek Johnson will be there. Dr. Sherwood will be there. Bo Pony will be there. Pastor Todd Coconau will be there. Tanya Joy Gibson will be there. Both our praise bands, Mount Zion and Steve Hill Band, will be there. And as we said, we'll have more music with Jimmy Levy. Chris Burgard's going to sing. Nick Searcy's going to sing. Derek Johnson's going to sing. And also just joining us is Rob McCoy. Rob McCoy is a pastor out in California, a brave pastor that stood up against the tyranny and loves this country. So it's great to bring Rob McCoy on to our tent revival in Texas. So join us there. One last thing is Kingdom Fuel. Get ready for the fast. We're doing a March 20th to Resurrection Day fast using Kingdom Fuel, either to replace one meal or two meals. The more you get this into your system, the more nutrition you get, the more it fills you up with good stuff. You save money because you're eating a nutritious meal for $5 a meal. And also you're getting your body in shape for this battle that we're in. So we got to get that today, get the Kingdom Fuel today and start that fast with us from March 20th to Resurrection Sunday. And send us your testimonies. We're starting to get lots of testimonies coming in about how Kingdom Fuel is reshaping their body, literally. So God bless you and go in His shalom.